recording on GarageBand. Let me know when you're ready for the clap.
I'm ready. Okay. Okay. Three, two, one. Today's Thursday, not Friday, right? It's still not.
No, today is Monday.
Still not the end of
today's
the week.
Today's Monday.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
It's still not.
Don't do that to me.
Can't help it. It's too easy. You were so defeated yesterday that I just can't help but pile on.
I was, and I don't feel much better today than I did yesterday. But there is something I wanted to talk about, something that you actually wrote about 2 days ago. I hate to go back 2 days, but we learned some.
I don't write.
we learned some information on subscriber numbers to streaming services, and it was kind of,
to be clear. Hold on, not subscriber numbers. These are streaming share.
Streaming share.
There, how much time is actually being spent on the actual services streaming?
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. And the results were very surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually really, really surprised because of how bland Disney's is. I really expected them to be above and beyond. I mean, they're the lowest of the low. Oh, just about.
No. That's Apple TV Plus, to be clear. That is Apple TV Plus. They are the lowest of the low. Not that it gets Apple TV Plus, because anyone listening to this, I love Apple TV Plus. I think they have the best show to hit ratio in terms of quality, in my opinion, based on everything that I've seen, but they don't have nearly enough content.
No,
but let's dive into this.
I'll just say that mostly comes because a lot of people got their Apple TV because they have Apple phones, and that's only, what was 2018? I think the last numbers I saw were something like 14, 15% mobile market share. And then
that much people actually who do it. Like, for example, I think there's a large percentage of people who don't even sign on.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You don't have a lot of people going and getting it as an individual thing. And then you have
I'm saying even people who have it for free in their service don't use it. Yeah.
And then I was going to say, when you compare the full entertainment world market to 17% in the mobile market, I can see easily how they could be so low. But Netflix losing numbers, Hulu losing numbers, Disney staying the same. And then we had two that
can I actually clarify what this chart shows first? So the chart shows Q1 or Q2 and Q3 comparisons for this year, and it shows the percentage of streaming share, the amount of, you know, between all of them, the percentage each one has of the streaming market for each quarter, and how much they've gone up or down. Netflix in Q2, 32% streaming share. In Q3, 25%.
Yep.
Prime Video, 20% in Q2, 21% in Q3.
Yep.
Hulu, 19% in Q2, 15% in Q3.
Yep.
HBO Max, 3% in Q2, and 9% in Q3. Though I feel like that should be a big asterisk next to it, because I think, didn't it launch in July? I'm wondering if it's basically like going from HBO Now and Go to what is now HBO Max. So
maybe
it maybe isn't a good apples to apples comparison. And then Disney Plus, Q2 and Q3 are at 6% exactly the same. But what that shows me, and keep in mind, this is not subscribers.
Right.
This is not the number of people who subscribe. For all we know, Disney, I think, still is probably getting a good number of people subscribing. But the problem is they just don't have content to actually drive people to their service once they subscribe. There are a lot of people like me who have had it, and I haven't used that thing
for... watch it.
I don't use it for a couple months at a time. Like, I know I watched it for Mandalorian. I probably spent a good 6 to 8 months, you know, going down memory lane, watching a bunch of animated stuff, watching a bunch of cartoons, and or watching a bunch of old live action stuff. And, you know, I think I got my fill around 6 to 8 months in, and I haven't really gone back except to do stuff like maybe Onward or a couple of other, you know, Disney Plus things like Mulan and things like that. So I think that's sort of the difference. Once again, streaming share, not subscribership. Right. But anyways, now that that's been clarified, continue.
So I found it interesting, Prime going up the way it did, because the way you subscribe to Prime is actually a $119, you know, fee for the Amazon Prime service, which includes the video service and the 2-day shipping and all of that. And then HBO Max is big jump. I thought about the same thing you did, like how much of this is people that were using HBO Go, and then it's like, and now that it's hey HBO Max, it's up that high. But still, even then, that's gaining the same percentage of viewing time as Disney Plus, which was fully established in quarter two. And
I mean, HBO Max is doing a great job with their programming, because, you know, you have the power of HBO, you know, releasing things weekly, and then you have a bunch of HBO Max originals. You have stuff like Harley Quinn and Doom Patrol and a bunch of other things that are sort of being brought on and expanded on. Like, they have a nice steady stream of original content coming out that's both branded and original. And yeah, I think HBO Max is doing a great job. Like, it's one of my most watched services right now, apart from Netflix. And in response to Prime Video, I will say also that I think there are a lot of people who probably had it without realizing it, but then they realize when they saw something, oh, there's actually something I want to watch there.
Yeah,
they actually seek it out and go like, oh, wait, I have it. And then they start watching it more. So
like Expanse or Boys Carnival.
The Boys,
Roll,
I think, probably was a...
Or whatever.
Right, exactly. Once they see something that they want to watch, they are like, try to seek it out and realize they have it. And then now maybe that can increase for... That can go for an increased viewership because now that they have it and they know they have it.
Well, I'll say this. I did a total analysis of all of the packages that we have, all of the streaming services that the wife and I had. No. And I even...
Oh, no. How much?
And I even divided the Prime Video, you know, the 119 by 12, and my Disney Plus, I paid for 3 years, so just to see what 1 year would be like, I used their regular price and times that by 12. And everything that we have was actually only 46 and change. So still less than the average lowest cable package.
But you're also paying for internet.
Yes, of course I'm.
And cable and internet are usually... No, cable and internet are usually combined, though, is my point.
I'm using a cable internet connection and could easily get cable TV, but I don't have a bundle or anything like that.
No, my point is... I think it's hard to compare because usually the comparison is like, oh, cable internet is $120. But that's, you know, that's different from cable. Yeah, like, how much does it cost? How much does cable internet cost as a package? How much does your services plus your plus your internet cost as a package? Is it actually still lower once you take that into account?
So compared to what we were paying for DirecTV, we're saving hand over fist.
Okay.
So,
Even when taking internet into account.
Even with internet into account, we're still saving hand over fist.
Got it. Also, really quick, I do want to clarify also one more thing. that this data that we've been talking about is from realgood.com, which is a service, yes. And they are utilizing data based on their 2 million users. So once again, like all surveys or whatever, like all things, it's a sample size.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
That's a good, that's a decent sample size though. 2
million. No, it's pretty big. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Anyways, I felt old the other night. The wife and I, why am I so fucking cold this morning? I don't know why. We bought an HDN because you know we've cut the cable cord. Like I said, we got rid of DirecTV. Everything we seems to be, you know, hey, you're saving money. What shit? I just said we bought. Oh yeah. The we bought an HD antenna to get our local channels and some of the there's like extra PBS type stuff that includes like cooking shows and travel shows and nature stuff for Lucas, you know, and so we bought it. It's a one-time purchase, and it's got about a 40-mile radius, and believe it or not, the little bastard picked up 40 channels, actually. This HD antenna picked up, we paid $30 at Lowe's. Yeah, and okay. Now, and
so wait, do you get like basic channels like NBC and ABC and all that?
Yep. Get all of those.
I should Fox. Look into that.
Yeah, we get Fox, we get ION, something called TBD, which is usually like viral internet videos. There's the CW / WGN. It's kind of weird. I don't know if that's just because of the area that I'm in. WGN's that Chicago superstation that gets, you know, show across the country. And it's all like my local channels all come in 1080i HD with I think most of them have not Dolby. What's the other surround sound?
I don't know.
DTS, something like that. Mm. Anyways, the quality is freaking amazing. Yeah, I just realized again we've gone beyond fuck the cold open. You guys know it's LR Mornings with Kyle and Jammer. So yeah, TV. It's kind of like I said, it was interesting to see Prime Video go up. And I was like you, yeah, HBO Max probably benefiting from the built-in HBO subscriber base. But how low the viewership is on Disney and quarter two includes the height of the pandemic and holy shit. Like,
Disney. I mean, it's not a huge surprise because, I mean, here's the thing. It's streaming share. It's not like, we can quantify that with the actual numbers because we don't know what they are. And it's compared to Netflix, the biggest streaming giant on the entire world. So it's like, I don't think it's.
But
it's
like,
streaming share. So I think we have to keep in mind it's share and not like an actual amount that's being shown there. So it's like 6%. In a market that's been dominated for Netflix for a decade is still like fine. It's not great, but it's something. What's more surprising is that they haven't grown. I think that's the most telling thing is that it stayed the same.
Yes. And and that includes them adding little things here and there, not a lot of original content. You know, they've slowly been adding their Marvel legacy, quote unquote, titles. That's all the old Fox and all of the old Fox properties to the service, which I really don't know how much having X-Men Wolverine Origins is going to drive viewership, but okay.
Watch, in about 10 years, X-Men Origins Wolverine is going to be like the prequel trilogy, and everyone's going to like love it and talk about how great it is and how they've always loved it and how they grew up with it.
Oh my, I can't with that. Anyways, it is Disney came out this week and said that they're going to be heavily focused on streaming, and we know that streaming is a big deal because of all of the the Marvel shows that were announced and all of the Mandalorian doing so well, and them talking about doing additional shows, Cassian and or. Sorry, I just knocked over something. Cassian and Andor and Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then, of course, we've been talking about all of the potential spin-offs coming from the Mandalorian. And we have another rumored spinoff.
This comes from us, actually. This is from one of our sources, and a very reliable one, that said, yes, Cara Dune is getting her her own spinoff show, but this wasn't something that kind of just ended there. It wasn't in a vacuum. That wasn't it. Like, literally, right after we announced it, Kessel Run Transmissions, who they run all kinds of other scoops as well, they corroborated our rumor saying, yes, it's true, but it's not just going to be Cara Dune. She's going to be a central player, but it's also going to star, oh my God, I forgot her name, Bo-Katan?
Yes.
Bo-Katan.
You got it.
The Mandalorian character from the Clone Wars or Rebels? I don't know. I don't know my Star Wars cartoons very
Sabine,
well or at all.
I think Sabine is the Rebels Mandalorian.
No, Bo-Katan.
For sure.
Wasn't it Bo-Katan?
I don't fucking know. No, fuck. Yeah, you gotta look shit up. I was gonna say, I thought it was Sabine.
Bo-Katan. Bo-Katan is the rumor.
Right.
Cara Dune. And yeah, so that's the rumor. They corroborated ours and said it's going to be sort of a dual show. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I have to say. I mean, that's the thing that's happening. And yeah, like I said, we have a source that told us that. It's very reliable. And they said that they've known about this. KRT, Kessel Run, has known about this for months. But they didn't want to run it because they were feeling kind of gun shy about certain things, because you know how things change. And plus, Cara Dune, not Cara Dune, what the hell's her name? What is the actress's name? Gina Carano facing a lot of flack on Twitter for, you know, whatever political view she has. So I guess they were worried that Disney might get cold feet on her and then not decide to do a spinoff show. But since we ran it, they're like, all right, well, we're gonna run it and we're gonna give some extra little tidbit. Boom, there it is. So yeah, Bo-Katan Cara Dune show. What are your thoughts on this?
I liked the Cara Dune character well enough in Mandalorian, which I'm rewatching in order to bring you guys a rebranded Last Call podcast as the Cantina and talk in Mandalorian season one. Next week, and talking about season two next week, and then the first episode, of course. It is. I don't know. I need to see more from this season. especially since we're talking about getting characters like Bo-Katan. I think we were talking about Sabine Wren, Ahsoka, like all these characters. I need to see what Kara and her supposed partner are going to be like in this season, especially seeing a cartoon character brought to life like this. Yeah. I'm trying to think of any time this has ever really been done truly successfully. And I mean, I know
that Boba Fett, come on.
I know there's
the original Mandalorian to go from animation to live action.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to
that's a joke.
Look calm at down. It like that.
Calm down, that's a joke. I mean,
they both wear similar armor, sure. But other than you know, like a live action Smurfs or live action Chipmunks, I can't think of animation making the jump like that. It's weird.
I mean, it's gonna happen. It'll happen. It'll be fine. We got this.
Hopefully
it'll be good.
Yeah.
That's all I can hope for. Yeah. Is that, like, I have no idea. Like, Cara Dune was fine. I think she's relatively limited in her what she's able to do acting-wise right now. Maybe she'll expand. Maybe this will be an opportunity for her to show that she can do a little bit more. By Cara Dune, I mean Gina Carano.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Sackhoff, she's in this. People love her. People love Battlestar. So
yeah.
She would be likely taking on the role in live action form. That's her, right?
Yeah, she played Starbuck in Battlestar.
No, but she plays Bo-Katan, the voice of her.
I guess allegedly still.
Yeah, allegedly still. Once again, yeah. I'm not an expert in the cartoons. I cannot get into the animation style to save my life.
No,
I try.
No,
I can't get into the newsreel talky style of freaking the Clone Wars. I hate it. It's visceral. I have a visceral reaction whenever they have that opening, and I'm just like, I hate this so much. I hate it. So I've only been able to get through like a handful or more of episodes. Plus, I hate the fact that it always feels like that I'm missing something. Where I'm like, I feel like, did I miss an episode? Am I watching this out of order? What's going on? And then I realize, oh, these are basically little stories plucked from, you know, the actual bigger war that isn't actually told, which is annoying. Tell me the whole story. Don't give me little bits and pieces throughout the war. It's a cool concept, I will say. But still, it's annoying.
That's funny.
Anyway, that has gone off into a rant.
Yeah. I will say this overall. My biggest fear about season two, I started feeling, God, who was it? Back when Fett was announced as potentially coming back, and then they're like, no, mm-hmm. It's going to be Rex and Timothy Oliphant wearing Fett's armor. Something like that. And it was
gonna be Timothy Oliphant wearing Fett's armor. Yeah.
Yeah. And all right around there, I started saying, "Oh God, I something feels weird." And then we got the additional rumors about other Clone Wars and Rebels characters showing up, and then came. Shortly after rumor of them showing up, rumors of them getting their own spinoff shows, and I'm just like, is every episode going to be a backdoor pilot? Like, that would
I don't know.
That would be terrible, wouldn't it?
I mean, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Like, in theory, I see your point. That'd be terrible. But at the end of the day, it's no different than if it was sort of an episodic type show where you have a Western, a guy going to a place, do stuff, and then leave, except when he leaves, that person's going to continue off on their own show.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that weird.
I guess.
But like, or that bad. But I mean, it just all depends on execution. That's the thing. If it's great, we'll say it's great and unique. If it's awful, we're going to say, oh, it's because of this particular reason.
Yeah.
When in reality, there are a lot more factors that go into it than just those particular things.
I guess we're so used to serialized. That's the correct term, right? For the
arcing. Serialized is when it's an ongoing story. Right. Yeah.
We're so used to the serialized story now, compared to like shows in the 60s and 70s, which were just that weekly thing. The cop catches the bad guy. The family's child learns a lesson. The, you know, whatever the show may be, it was just episode to episode. And even though we have sitcoms, hell, even sitcoms have overarching stories during seasons sometimes. So it's weird.
Oftentimes these days, it's almost like you standard, like, yeah, they're episodic, but like, they contribute to sort of an ongoing narrative.
Yeah.
Even if that ongoing narrative isn't super important, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. So serialization is, I hope that's a real word.
That's a real word. Yeah.
Serialization of our small screen consumption has definitely changed us a lot. I wonder what, I wonder how well a truly episodic show could do.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're... I'm sure they exist out there. I don't know which ones are out there that are truly episodic. Even, like, the comedies, though, are, like, have stuff like Brooklyn Nine-Nine has overarching stuff. Yeah,
yep.
What's another comedy show running right now that I can't think of?
I don't know. What We Do in the Shadows has an overarching storyline as well.
I would go for more of like a network show.
Oh, I don't know. Because I feel
like those are the ones that would be more likely.
I don't know any. I don't know any. I'm sure they exist.
They're out there. They're out there. I don't remember.
They are. But anyways, that's enough for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Tell us what you think in the comments below about the Star Wars spinoff and the streaming viewership numbers, or, you know, hours numbers, whatever you want to call it. Make sure to check out lrmonline.com every single day. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel. Lots of great stuff there. Hit the subscribe button. Help that YouTube channel grow so we can get more stuff on there for you. And do the same thing for this podcast network. Wherever you're listening from, please hit that subscribe button. Share us with some friends and family. Leave some comments. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of my entertainment stuff at LRMOnline.com. I'm on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, on Fridays. And don't forget to check out my novels under the name AJ Serna on Amazon and Audible.
And you guys can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.